Something clinked. She'd forgotten about the chain. It was hardly necessary. She felt as weak as a kitten. There was a rhythmic noise, like something chewing at the wood. A tiny metal point splintered through the wall just in front of her nose and rose an inch. And someone spoke. It sounded far off and distorted, and perhaps only a werewolf would have heard it, but words were happening somewhere under her paws.
"Can stop peddling now, Corporal Nobbs. I am knackered, Sarge. Is there anything to eat? There's some more of that garlic sausage, or there's the cheese or cold beans.
We're in a tin with no air and we're supposed to eat cheese. I ain't even gonna comment on the beans."
"I'm very sorry, gentlemen. Things were rather rushed and I had to take food which would keep."
"It's just that it's getting a bit crowded, if you get my meaning."
"I will pay out the rope as soon as it's dark and we can surface and take on air."
"Just so long as we get rid of the air we've got, that's all I'm saying."
Angua's brows wrinkled as she tried to make sense of this. The voices were familiar. Even muffled as they were, she recognised the tones. The vague feeling that fought its way through the mists of animal intellect was friends. The tiny little unchangeable centre of her thought, "Good grief, next thing I'll be licking hands." She laid her head down near the point again.
"Way to do it, young man. There you go again. Sink ships. I can't imagine how anyone could think of such a thing."
Names. Some of those voices had names. Thinking was getting harder. That was the silver at work. But if she stopped, she might forget how to start again. She stared at the point of metal, the point of metal with sharp edges. The tiny human part of her mind raged at the wolf brain, trying to get it to understand what it needed to do. It was after midnight. The lookout man knelt on the deck in front of 71-hour Ahmed and trembled.
"I know what I saw, Wally," he moaned. "And the others saw it too. Something rose up behind the ship and began chasing us. A monster."
Ahmed looked at the captain, who shrugged.
"Who knows what lies on the floor of the sea, Wally?"
"It's breath," moaned the seaman. "There was a great roar of breath like the stink of 1,000 privies, and then it spoke."
"Really?" said Ahmed. "This is not unusual. What did it say?"
"I did not understand."
The man's face screwed up as he tried to assemble the unfamiliar syllables.
"It sounded like," he swallowed and went on, "ye gods, that was better out than in, Sarge."
Ahmed stared at him.
"And what did that mean to you?" he said.
"I do not know, Wally."
"You have not spent much time in Ankh-Morpork?"
"No, Wally."
"Then return to your post."
The man stumbled out.
"We have lost speed, Wally," said the captain.
"Perhaps the sea monster is clutching at our keel."
"It pleases you to joke, Lord, but who knows what has been disturbed by the rising of the new land?"
"I shall have to see for myself," said 71-hour Ahmed.
He walked alone to the stern of the ship. Dark waters sucked and splashed and left a phosphorescent glow edging the wake. He watched for a long time. People bad at watching didn't last long in the desert, where a shadow in the moonlight could be just a shadow, or it could be someone anxious to help you on your way to paradise. The Dregs came across many shadows of the latter persuasion. Dreg wasn't their name for themselves, although they tended to adopt it now out of pride. The word meant enemy. Everyone's. And if anyone else wasn't around, then one another's. If he concentrated, he might believe that there was a darker shape about 100 yards behind the ship, very low in the water. Waves were breaking where waves shouldn't be. It looked as though the ship was being followed by a reef. Well, well. 71-hour Ahmed was not superstitious. He was substitious, which put him in a minority among humans. He didn't believe in the things everyone believed in, but which nevertheless weren't true. He believed instead in the things that were true, in which no one else believed. There are many such substitions, ranging from "it'll get better if you don't pick at it," all the way up to "sometimes things just happen." Currently, he was disinclined to believe in sea monsters, especially ones that spoke in the language of Ankh-Morpork, but he did believe that there were a lot of things in the world that he didn't know about. In the far distance, he could see the lights of a ship. It didn't seem to be gaining on them. This was much more worrying.